Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Matt from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. With Clear Tide, you can say goodbye to heavy lifting, missed deliveries, bottle storage, and worrying about how much bacteria might be living in your bottled cooler, and say hello to purified, endless refreshment, all for one flat monthly rate.
What are you waiting for? Visit BottleFreeBoston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's BottleFreeBoston.com, and make sure to tell Matt and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, we've gotten to the bottom of the no Rays Cup.
What is it?
There are no longer Rays Cups there. A couple of texts coming in. One from your favorite guy, Mark Winship. The only Mark that Zoe enjoys working with.
Yep.
Mark Winship said,
number two on the list. Yep.
Said no Rays Cup. Just spoke with a guy he's playing with. So that is his answer. And also, Flanny from TV called over to the course just now, and they said no, the Rays Cups are no longer.
I just love how all the salespeople know everything that's going on in our show and nothing about selling right now. And he's going to call golf course and
no. Winship didn't call.
Winship's a golfer. Winship can play.
Winship did not call anybody.
Oh,
and by the way, there's a lot of misinformation coming from one person in particular on this who really had me going this morning. No, do you know John from Aaron's? Zoe, do you know him?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay,
the Aaron's guy.
So he texted me as soon as Maz tweeted this out.
What did he do?
He texted me, "Hey, I just wanted you to know there's some question as to whether it being a hole in one." I'm like, "What?"
Was he there? Was he golfing with him?
Apparently, he says it was a mulligan. I'm like, what?
Oh,
it was a three?
it's even a triple asterisk now.
So then Gamlin starts texting me back.
Super duper useless.
Gamlin says he said something about it being
the first one in the woods.
No, it's an Italian hole in one, and he says it wasn't a raised cup, and this just now, it wasn't a raised cup. It was just a spray painted 2-foot perimeter around the flagstick. I now know that he was messing with me the whole time. It was not a mulligan. It wasn't a raised cup, and it wasn't a spray-painted perimeter 2 feet around the flagstick. So he was messing with me the whole time. But I wanted to believe that more than anything in my life, that Maz aced his mulligan for a three. Nice par. But that is not the case.
What, he had a seven? He said he had a seven, right?
Seven 161? Iron, 161. A little uphill. Which some people are like goofing on. That's a solid shot. And Maz has got that sneaky old man Italian strength. He's got old man.
He's got angry old uncle.
He's got old man Italian skills. You know, he'll grow you a hell of a tomato, I'm sure. You know, he can. He's got that really upright, handsy putting stroke. Could probably build you a heck of a stone wall around your flower beds.
He's probably a good mason.
I want to get him over here to repoint my steps.
Think he can make pizza? Think he can make pizza? I bet he could cook a pizza in an outdoor oven.
I've got the evidence that it was not a Rays Cup. We've got a picture of Maz on the green this morning following the hole in one.
Where is that? Is that online?
I've just put it in Slack and television. Right. Maybe we can get it up on the simulcast.
But Josh Fowler shrunk Maz's head on a golfer that actually got one. Congratulations on your ego.
Nice eagle.
Eagles a special day.
Yeah. I mean, he golfs enough. You think he golfs enough that this would have happened before now, Hardy?
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Dude golfs like every day.
Yeah, he hates his family.
No, he has access and he has time. If I worked in the afternoons, I would be... Yeah, I probably wouldn't be playing as much as Maz. No,
right.
But
even me. Yeah.
Well,
I
mean, seriously, with the kids and everything, I don't know how he does it, but he plays.
His kids
lot.
Are a little bit older.
Oh, I see Lipsky out there with him. He's working hard today. Good. All right. Good.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. Good.
Excellent. Good for Lipsky.
Good for Lipsky.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Following up a bunch of
really,
leads.
Really? Follow- really been grinding it out during the pandemic. Well, yeah. Sure.
Closed some deals out there with Maz.
Yeah, he's following up a bunch of leads in Devons. He's probably going on cold calls out there.
Bob and Lemonster. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
What's up, Bob?
That's good. Yeah, I play red tail a lot. Hold number three. Does play a little uphill. He didn't hit a 7-iron, 161 yards. He hit it to the left. There's a big hill on the left. Comes down off the hill. There's a false front green. It trickles down. He got lucky. There is foam in the cup, though, too. It can go in the hole. They switched the foam in the cup, so the ball can literally go in the hole if it wants to.
Yeah, well.
But he didn't hit a 7-iron, 161 yards in that hole. It's all carry. No way.
You're saying he didn't?
Put.
Okay.
It's a pretty good shot, though, if it outs all
Maz
carries,
can
though.
Play. Maz can absolutely
play. Yeah, no one's
play.
Doubting his ability to play.
And I'm not saying it's unlucky. I have always said that holes in one are somewhat useful. You get to put a one down on the scorecard. Maz's statement from years ago, and I'm being told, yes, I have it now confirmed, that the afternoon show has audio evidence that they will play today of Maz on that date after my hole-in-one in his presence going on the air,
good.
Doubling down, which he said to my face, and then said on the air the next day, holes-in-one are useless. We'll see if he changes his tune today now that he has one.
Along those lines, Nick in Foxborough on useless sports feats.
Hey, one thing I thought of was bowling a turkey. Like, who cares? Either roll the 300 or don't. No one cares. You got three strikes in a row. But the second one I had was an immaculate inning in baseball. Like, you could accomplish the same thing in three pitches or in 30 pitches. As long as you don't let up any runs, who cares if you did it in nine or less pitches? Thanks. I'll hang up.
Okay.
The turkey and bowling. I mean, a 300 game is a lot to ask.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Three strikes in a row. I think there's some use to that. And I would equate that to the four beanbags in a row when you're playing cornhole, which is known as the great cornholio. You get four in a row in the hole. That's useful. I mean, that requires some skill, maybe a little bit of luck.
So
but
the immaculate inning is the strikeout of the side on nine pitches, right? Nine straight strikes.
Yes.
You know, to me, I look at it and say, what's the difference between that and getting a guy to ground out on the first pitch three straight times?
And only throw the ball three times as opposed to nine.
Like, throwing three pitches in an inning, to me, is far more impressive. And I don't even know how many times that's happened. Because you can look, but of course, you can look up how many immaculate innings there have been. And there's a bunch. There's many. I'm trying to see what the number is. I'll tell you what it is. But 93 different pitchers have done it. In Major League Baseball. Okay. I want to know how many guys have done it on three pitches. That's more fun.
Yeah.
Also useless, though.
More useless.
Also useless. Turkey and bowling. I don't know if I had even heard of turkey and bowling.
Yeah,
a couple strikes. Yeah, third strike.
Three strikes in a row.
Ever heard of that. Ever played bowling on the Wii? And got the triple strikes and then the turkey?
Oh, yeah.
No, I have not done that.
But there's some use to that.
Of course there is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some use to all of these things.
Some use, but is it largely useless? The immaculate inning, largely useless. I'm with you, Beetle.
Yeah.
Get three batters in a row to ground out on the first pitch. That is way more useful. It just keeps things moving, too.
You want to get to something from very early in the show today?
Sure.
We've gotten a lot of feedback on Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, we have?
Good. But we've also gotten a lot of people saying Zoe is right. It's great. But they are all taking issue, it seems, with your description of the show.
Okay.
Would you like to try, you know, maybe a more detailed description? And we'll just,
sure.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Try again, maybe? I don't know. I mean, what is it? What is the show about? I've heard it's a mockumentary.
Complete dysfunction. There's Ricky and Julian. Ricky does nothing but sleep in Julian's car. He's a degenerate. Julian's been in the clink back and forth. He's always walking around with a cocktail glass in. There's Bubbles. He's the fix-it man, sort of the handyman. What they do is they steal grills and they sell them for money. Mm-hmm. And there's an old man, Leahy, that still thinks he's a cop. He's not a cop, but he polices the trailer park with a guy, Randy, that won't wear a shirt because it gives him a rash, and he's got a big beer belly. And they tend to play cops and robbers and, Lone Ranger, they dress up Leahy, the old man, and him, and They have a bubble. They have a yeah. So
so this show debuted in 2001. It's nearly 20 years old.
Come on, I thought it just came out.
No, 2001. The show began.
Oh my God,
it's got 105 episodes already. So
it feels like every episode's the same.
Is it over? Or is it still continuing?
There's this white dude, J-Rock, that's a rapper, but he's down. He walks around with a cane, and he's got a crew with him. It's classic. Classic trailer.
It looks like it's over. It says the last season debuted in March of 2018.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that's the end of it.
Good. I'll catch up.
Yeah, so it's over. Trailer Park Boys.
Mm. Better than Parks and Recreation, yes.
Have you seen that?
I started watching it, yeah. People keep saying it's the new Office. You're going to love it. It's better than The Office. No, it's not. It's not better than The Office when Michael Scott was there. When Robert California is there, yes, much better than it. Not a Robert California guy.
All right, so here's John in San Francisco's description of Trailer Park Boys. Hardy, have you ever seen it?
No.
Okay, I've never seen it either. But he says Trailer Park Boys is great. Description was not the best. But it's a faux documentary about three lifelong friends as they just get out of jail for the last time and promise to turn their life around. It involves guns,
yep.
Weed, crime, a drunken trailer park, a supervisor who used to be a cop, and his assistant who used to be a male prostitute. Hilarity ensues.
Yeah. Randy.
That, to me, is a good, concise explanation of what it is.
Well, now I know what the show is.
Yeah,
I've heard
Randy
Zoe describe
like
it twice,
Alan.
And I still didn't know.
Yeah. Alan, Randy sort of looks like Alan from The Hangover.
That's great, but that doesn't tell us what the show is about.
Elizabeth Leahy. Yeah.
Again, it's not helping.
Faux documentary about three lifelong friends. It's like that thing that Hardy makes us do with movies. You got to describe it in what, three sentences?
Yeah.
I don't know if I have enough words to describe that.
Well, that's how you can immediately debunk the Die Hard is a Christmas movie claim. Can you describe Die Hard without using the word Christmas? Of course. It has nothing to do with Christmas.
Yeah. A wacko businessman takes over a building that a former cop who's divorced from his wife comes in and saves the day and shoots the whole place up.
Yeah.
Because he's a badass. Modern day Rambo.
That's it.
Yeah. No Christmas.
Now describe.
Nothing to do with it.
Now describe Christmas Vacation. You can't do it without using Christmas.
It's Christmas time,
it's everybody's family at Christmas. Is what it is.
Yes.
And you can assimilate any person in your family to a member of that cast. You say, Grandpa so and so remembered used to do that.
Right.
Or Uncle Ted used to take his back pills.
Good description.
Yes.
Aunt Edna never cooked a good turkey. It was dry.
All right.
Nobody ever wanted that animal that one woman brought because she thinks everybody loves animals, but yet they don't. So you probably shouldn't bring the dog because not most people like your dog.
Can we go?
Yeah.
Yes, we can. Yeah, let's come right back with your calls. Don't go anywhere.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Hey!
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Maz finally got back to me. He said, no Rays cups. It rolled in. 100% legitimate. Tell Hardy to bleep off. And he wrote the word, Hardy.
Strong.
He wrote the word.
That is
so
that really
strong.
Means it then.
Strong response.
I also have more information coming in from somebody who was there. Said, totally legit. Bounced once, ran at the flag, and disappeared. Grounds crew working on the sand pit. Confirmed it was in, and we went crazy. He shot a 41 on the front. I told you.
So grounds crew that was working the sand pit next to the hole that you hit into was risking their lives while you were trying to get a hole in one.
I don't know what a sand pit is, if he meant to. You know,
what's a sand pit?
I don't know. It's
got to be a bunker.
I don't know. But Maz can play. I mean.
Can he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he can play. Without question.
Yeah.
He can play, yes. I mean, he needed an ace to shoot a 41. I mean, it could have very, very easily been a, you know, call it a 44 or 45 on the front, right. But it's decent. Right. It's fine.
Okay. Where's Red Tail?
Devins.
Okay. Wow, that's out there.
It is. A little bit, but it's worth it. Oof. It's a nice place.
Nick is in Norton on Trailer Park Boys. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on?
Trailer Park Boys, great show. I give it a 10 out of 10, one of my favorite ever. But the reason why it's over is because actually Jim Leahy passed away last
year. Yeah, he died
year.
Recently, yep.
So that just, I mean, it's just crazy. A great show, though. I just want to chime in. Love you guys. Listening every day, and have a great day.
We appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, the old man Leahy, the park supervisor, former cop, he passed away last year in reality.
They couldn't go on without him?
Well, you kind of need him. I mean, he's one
central
of the key
to the
characters.
Plot?
Yeah, yeah. He's top four character.
Okay. Zach in Milford has something for Hardy. Hi, Zach.
Hardy, you guys are just talking about it. Maserati with the hole in one. Thank God you didn't bet
eagle.
With him, Hardy.
Eagle. It's an eagle. Jesus.
Thank God you didn't make a bet with him.
Well, so, Hardy, I got a couple bones to pick with you. So, one, on Friday when I called last week, you asked me if I even know how to golf. So, on Saturday, when I called into your show, I ended up shooting a 41 on the front and a 45 on the back at Newton Commonwealth. So, yes, I do know how to golf.
All right.
So, and on the fourth tee box, it's not an artificial tee box anymore. They actually upgraded to, you know, the regular grass, whatever kind of grass they use up there. But hole 14 still has that artificial tee box.
All right.
So, secondly, I got one other thing for you, Hardy, before I let you go.
Yes.
On your golf show, that's 8 to 9 every Saturday, correct?
Oh, this is good. Golf critique here. This is good.
Yeah.
Critiquing the golf show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The show that I called into Saturday, it was about 9:30 or so. What show is that?
That's Hardy.
It's Hardy.
Hey, it's Hardy. Also known as the Sports Hub Golf Club wrap-up show.
Is that the Mimosa show? I'm confused.
Mimosas, yes. It's got three names.
What show did Chuck call into? That guy Chuck. I think it was Chuck and Foxborough called one day.
I got an email from... Did you send me an email wanting audio of your phone call?
That's my buddy John Floyd, and Mark Bertrand knows Floyd very well. He's the 28-3 guy. He put together that nice little visual of the 28-3, and then when we played Jacksonville, he did that little graphic. But that's my buddy Floyd who emailed you.
Okay. Well,
I know him.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You favorited and liked his tweet. That his tweet was pretty good a couple of years back, and your show retweeted it. So
okay. I love that. We love going back into the archiver and pulling up 30-second phone calls and then making MP3s and emailing them off to people. So I'm sure T-Bone will get right on that. If I can't do it
I'll
right
tell you
now,
what, we'll do it for money. We'll do it for money.
We want to turn it around.
Buy a cameo, and it comes with a free... It comes with a free audio file of your call.
Absolutely.
Just drop your email in the description, and we'll take care of it.
Yeah, me do your cameo. I even extend it to a minute.
Hey, okay? buy one of the new Fuppets cameos.
The Fuppets are in cameo now.
Yes, as of last night.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be a production. Out.
That's, well, it ain't cheap.
What's it cost?
That's $49.
Oh my God! You serious?
That's affordable, Hardy.
Yeah, well,
the Muppets are 49.
No, the Fuppets are 40. Muppets are probably thousands. Fuppets are $49.
All three of them?
No, those are singular ones. If you want multiples, then you have to request it at the business pricing. It's a bit of a thing. Just log on, you'll see.
Oh, okay. How do you divide those profits? May I ask?
Well, we got it all worked out.
Felgadol gets it.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, then.
We got it all worked out.
All right. That's good. That's nice. That's very good.
Yes, but anytime you want, you call into this show or any other. We should make that blanket policy for the radio station. Oh, yeah, you called in and you fired off a couple of zingers to Felger and you want audio of it? Well, Maz will be happy to pull it for you. Via cameo. So you request a cameo from Maz, he'll somehow pull the audio and send it off to you.
Yeah, I'll do the same. If you just put that in your cameo request, I'll take care of it for you. I'm on cameo.
Just let us say that times are tough all over, okay?
Yeah. I'm trying to Make up for those losses.
Oh, my God. Every day.
So,
what are you doing? Throw that mustard away. There's still mustard in there. Come here.
Turn it upside down, damn it.
These Cheerios are stale. Eat them.
Eat them.
That's
put more milk on.
For dinner? Yes, for dinner.
You know what you could do with the Cheerios? You could put them in the air fryer. It'll crisp them up. Especially take some of the staleness and the moisture out of them.
Do you know how many emails I got crapping all over you and your basket air fryer?
Why?
And people just in general. Dan O'Brien, by the way, apparently is the air fryer connoisseur of connoisseurs at this point.
I'm going to read one. So I'm going to read one that's going to make you happy. Can I read you one?
Yeah, sure.
From Robert, Chef Rob in Bristol, Rhode Island. He says, I'm an executive chef, and I've worked in fine dining for many years, and I could listen to Zoe's breakdown of air frying methods and techniques all damn day.
My methods led my neighbor to go out and get an air fryer and tater tots. And he mixed the regular tater tots with the sweet potato tater tots. And so it's sort of like a Crunch Berries mixture.
Oh, damn.
You fry those bad boys up, a little cold ketchup and just a little zing of mayonnaise. It's sort of like a Thousand Island. And he also put barbecue sauce. It's almost like a Chick-fil-A sauce.
You talked
about making that, right?
So, yeah, and I get up early this morning, as I do, and this is, after we check the perimeter, and we come inside.
Okay.
And I turn the TV on there in the family room, and it's on Comedy Central, because we were watching the Prison Mike episode last night right before bed. It was on at 10:30.
Prison Mike.
On at 6:50 this morning. Guess what is on Comedy Central this morning at 6:50 a.m.?
What?
An infomercial
for
the Pro XL air fryer. And I almost bought it. It was three installments of cameo pricing, $49. Three installments of $49 for the Pro XL, but I was so close to pulling the trigger on that thing.
It's and amazing what you could put in there.
And then I realized we're having Cheerios and mustard for dinner, and I decided that would be a bad purchase. I'm into it. Oh, I asked Blondie about it. I told you, because remember a discussion yesterday.
What did she say?
Well, I knew that her major objection to it would be it's something that tends to get left out on the counter. And she
counter space.
She don't go for that. Unless it's like her KitchenAid mixer. You know, that looks nice.
Oh, yeah.
Leave that
one out.
Make
it look like she cooks, yeah.
But she does. I mean, if she never used it, that'd be one thing. But she knows what she's doing. She bakes and cooks. But I said, hey, how about now? And she said, no. I said, well, you know, she goes, what?
I don't like how she answered that because I know
I didn't like it either. I found it to be
it's a condescending no. Like, how dare you?
Yeah, like it's
like you know better.
It's she knew better, and B, it was a little bit beneath her, and C, a healthy dose of what the hell do you know about it?
Yeah, she talked down to you.
Oh, 100%. But long story short,
you order it.
We're not getting one.
Get Maz ordered. Send it to Maz's house. Send it there, and then he can pick it up.
Please, can we get one? No. Oh, all right.
You've been asking, please. No results.
Maz, just want an air fryer. Put stuff in it. The one I saw this morning, you put a damn pizza in that thing.
Put anything in there.
It's an XL.
No, seriously.
Rotisserie option. You do rotisserie chicken in 40% less time.
Oh, God, yeah. You put. You can do.
How often do you cook a rotisserie chicken, Artie?
Never. It's not the point.
If you want a rotisserie chicken, you know where you can get those already cooked?
For $7?
The supermarket.
I know. They give them away every Thursday.
It's like it's like $6 to get old chicken.
And they're delicious.
They're great.
And you won't get salmonella from it.
And you won't have to clean up that tray.
They didn't cook it with a blow dryer. No, this is actually cooked.
In an actual with a blow dryer. 617-779-0985. We got one more segment of your calls. Today's takeaways at 150.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, B. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
97 here on Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985. Some news today out of the NFL, and that is it's possible the league will go to just two preseason games this year.
Mm.
This is what I want to see coming out of all this.
Yes.
These are the types of positive steps forward I want to see.
Keep your regular season, eliminate the two meaningless games, let's shorten up camp. You could actually report actually earlier. I think the one date that they're all coming to agreement on is July 28th, and that looks like the reporting date for the Patriots.
Yes. So that's standard. That is as if it's a normal season. It's a little bit later by terms of date in the month, but everything's a little later this year, though. The calendar falls a little differently this year.
It's always that last Thursday. Yeah, last Thursday of the month, usually.
So, with that being the case, the NFL is apparently talking. The report today was from Tom Pelissero, who says the NFL and the Players Association are discussing the possibility of shortening the preseason. Nothing finalized or imminent, but multiple team executives informed of talks currently believe they could end up playing just two preseason games rather than four. And that would be terrific because they will play those two preseason games and they will realize they don't need to play four of them. Two of them is a perfectly suitable number for the NFL. And then next year, when they're not worried about all of the things they're worried about at this moment in time, we hope, then they can stick with two going forward and not have to have four. It's a good idea for the league.
Yeah.
This is why I think if baseball does have a season, and I really hope they do, I hope this is what comes out of it. And there's talks, by the way, in the counterproposal last night that there would be 16 teams in the playoffs. If it takes 16 teams in the playoffs to realize that a shorter regular season is what baseball needs.
That's what you need.
So be it.
So be it.
And a much shorter season that they will have this year that they realize, hey, okay, we're not going to go back. We're not going to play 80 games a year. But we can definitely come down from the 162 we currently have.
Yeah.
We could shorten our season. These are the things I want to see have happen here. Fewer meaningless preseason games, more playoffs in baseball, and less regular season. These are all things that would, I think, be good.
Yep.
And we could take away as a great change during all of this. That's all. I know Hardy wants to have, like, you know, 90 games in the baseball season, but it's going to be a few more than that, kid. It's going to be a few more.
98?
No.
96?
About $10, $15.
No. I'm guessing if they cut it down, they'll
120.
At a minimum, this should have been done long ago. Back to 154, okay? And if that's not enough of a trimming to get 16 teams in the playoffs, let's go to like 140-ish.
I'm telling you, I could do it with a reduction in virtually every sports schedule. I mean, the sports that I. That I really, really enjoy and like a lot with hockey, take it down to about 64 games. That'd be great. The golf calendar is the dumbest one. As soon as they finish up, they have a week or two off, and then they start again on the quote-unquote new season. Like, remember, didn't it seem like the golf year used to start like January, February in Hawaii, and they would kind of get things going? No, it's November. They get it going again in November. It is, and it's
so weird.
There's methods to all of it, and I get it. And whether it's the gate for the owners or for golf, it's for the younger guys out on tour can play in some events and get enough points and get enough money to stay on the tour. But how can you care about it? So much all the time. You can only care about so much, and it's just impossible to care the same about hockey games in September and October and basketball in October and November and golf in November and care the same as you're going to in the spring. It's just and baseball, it's just part of the same thing. It's been that way forever, I know, but it's forever. It goes on for so long.
I know, it's just too many damn games.
That's why I'm so against the NFL. The NFL is the only one.
So
It's perfect right now. 16 games. That's it. Good. Done.
And that's already going away. We already know that's going away.
Of course. Yeah.
So the 162 started in 1961, and prior to that, it was 154. Prior to 1920, it was 140 was the number. It was what they played, 140. How about 140? And I know that you got to figure out how the you got to figure out how the math is going to work. I'd have to see if that math even works. I don't know. I'm just throwing a number out there. You know, with the number of games against division opponents, what are the divisions? You can rethink the whole thing right now.
Sure
baseball.
Can.
You could do the. You make the math work. How about that? How about you come up with about the number you want and then make the math work? Figure it out. But two preseason games, though. That's good.
So
good for football.
How are owners
less
going
work
to
for Soucy and Zoe, but, by the way, though?
How are the owners
going to...
Will the owners be willing to give up the gate on that one game that they're losing?
I got an idea for them. I got an idea. Charge double for the one game you get. That would be my idea.
You know what? It's not
What about
terrible.
The gate they're gaining on a 17th game?
Yeah, but you're still asking them to give something up. When they agreed to the 17th game, they weren't giving up the home gate on one of the preseason games.
Right.
So in their mind, they're still giving something up.
Listen. The preseason has
they're
been
not interested
giant,
in a zero-sum
the
game,
Beetle.
The
preseason has been a giant scam that NFL teams have been running for decades, okay?
Yeah.
It's a scam. It's something you should be able to call the attorney general about and say, I'd like to file a consumer complaint. I've been ripped off with my season tickets because these NFL teams make me buy the preseason. That's what you should be able to complain about. So I think season ticket holders who make up the large majority of the fan base that files in every weekend or the large majority of the tickets in the stadium that are sold, they are already building in the cost of having it. So I don't think they care whether there's one game or two. Just tell me what you're going to rake me over the coals for these stupid preseason games. Or I have another innovative pricing plan, Hardy. You raise the ticket prices on the 8 home games over the course of the 8 games for what the 2 preseason games would be, and then you say, we're now including preseason tickets for free.
Oh, look at this bonus you get.
You can now do that. You say, oh, no. Preseason tickets for our season ticket holders are free, and then you just take the price of 2 games and you spread it out over the other 8 is what you do. You up the face value on the regular season tickets. There's plenty of ways to get creative with this to keep the scam going.
Yeah, it's not going to fly in every market, though. You know, what are they going to feel about certain Ohio teams being asked to pay more for their regular season tickets?
They're already
Period.
Paying for them, though. They're already paying for them anyway.
Yeah, but you want them to pay more, and you're going to give me tickets to
it? No. Hardy, if the season ticket package is now $1,000, next year it's still $1,000.
Okay.
It's the same money. He's tricking you into giving you the bonus of right. Hey, you get a couple free
money.
You get a couple free preseason tickets here to get warmed up on your stadium experience here. Right. Maybe take your kids. It's more of a family environment.
I wanted to work. I want 2 preseason games. Believe me, but they're still going to see it as giving up money that's sitting there, and they've been able to get for those for that. Extra home game that they will not get anymore.
Hardy, I talked to someone last year who his father had Patriot season tickets from the very beginning. We're talking 1960, like original fan, and still had the tickets into the 90s and still had an exemption that was grandfathered in that they did not have to buy the preseason tickets.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
That's a deal.
If you had tickets, and I'm like, no way. And he's like, yep, we were not forced to buy preseason tickets every year because we had had the tickets from when there was no preseason games you had to buy.
Wow.
So if you still had tickets from that era, you had like a grandfathered exception where you didn't have to take the preseason tickets.
Amazing.
I'm like, that's a great deal. That's an excellent deal.
Seriously, I don't know that anybody has had trouble giving away Patriots tickets of any kind. Or the last few years, or selling them off to someone. But if there was ever a game that you might have trouble unloading,
it's preseason game number 4.
Fourth preseason.
Yeah, it's
game.
It's a Giants game.
Good luck.
Nobody wants to work it. Nobody wants to call it. Nobody wants to go to it. Nobody wants to watch it. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to do a pregame. Nobody wants to do a postgame. Nobody. Just eliminate it. Yep. Just cure everybody. What an awful game it is. It is such an awful game. It's the Danny Etling game.
But that's it. They can't go to three because then they've got an unbalanced home and away schedule.
Correct.
So it's got to be 2.
1-1. One away, one home.
Please.
Today's takeaways are coming up next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, people, time to wake up. Let's go. Summer is here. Get the Wake 180 weight loss today. You got 6 locations. They'll coach you up virtually. Lose up to 8 pounds the very first week. Shed those pounds. Free support for life. Check out all the details. Awaken180weightloss.com. What we got today, Jim?
We got something to get to. But first, I want to give you this. Remember we were talking about the immaculate inning earlier this hour?
Yeah.
Neil, one of our emailers, looked up how many three-pitch innings there have been. Since 1990, there have been 154 three-pitch innings.
Jesus!
60 in the American League, including one in 2019, and 94 in the National League, including twice last season. The last Red Sox players to do it, Julian Tavares on September 4th, 2006, and Tim Wakefield did it on May 15th, 2005.
I can see Wakefield doing it because of the knuckler.
So 14 and 15 years ago for the Red Sox. But
what'd they say? If it's high, let
so
it fly.
So it happens more frequently. The three-pitch inning happens more frequently than the immaculate inning. But it's still, to me, a better result.
Yeah.
9 straight strikes versus 3 pitches, 3 outs. Give me the 3 pitches, 3 outs.
Of course, saves on the pitcher's arm and keeps the game moving.
Yes.
It's useful on many levels.
Yep. So that's what I vote for.
Yep.
Anyway, to the takeaways we go. You heard the drop earlier when we played the drops in this Dayton show history, June 10th. Something about a baby's arm and an apple.
You wouldn't know it to look at him, but he cleans up well. There's a baby arm holding an apple lurking underneath that prison jumpsuit.
T-Bone went back into the archives today to 2015 to find the context and give us the full conversation. Female worker probed as possible accomplice in prison break. Sources say the worker may have been wooed by one of the escaped cons, Richard Matt, 48, an infamous lady killer. Quote, he has a way with the ladies.
What's her name, Helen?
Quote, when Matt's cleaned up, he's very handsome. And in all frankness, very well endowed.
Who said this?
He gets girlfriends any place he goes.
Who said this?
Retired detective David Bentley, who helped put away Matt for the 1997 murder of a businessman.
It's obvious when he cleans up and wears a suit of a fine gabardine, it's obvious what's lurking underneath. And the ladies gravitate toward that. They can tell just by looking. This man is quite literally a tripod.
I just want to know what detective brings that up unsolicited. Like, he's thought about this a lot.
You wouldn't know it to look at him, but he cleans up well. There's a baby arm holding an apple lurking underneath that prison jumpsuit.
Hey,
that, of course.
What do they call that? Lousing? They're dousing with the lime where he throws all the powder on them?
De-lousing
them? Yeah. Maybe he was the policeman that was the resident guy holding the hose there when he's got to escort the guy off and he saw it.
So was that about the escape at Dannemora?
That was the Dannemora escape.
Wow.
That was 5 years ago. 2 years ago was the television show Escape at Dannemora, which was a miniseries on Showtime that was very good.
So good.
Very, very good. And Patricia Arquette is fabulous in it, playing the woman who was wooed by Richard Matt.
I don't know if that one particular plot point was covered in the miniseries.
I don't think they talked about his hog in that movie. No.
Jeez. Hog?
I don't think they did.
Wow.
I don't believe
you say that
was.
Wow.
I
you
just
that?
Did. I just did.
His hog.
At least call it a peepus.
He said hog.
It.
Swine.
Swine.
No, I don't think that was covered in the movie, was it, Artie? Yeah,
no,
series?
Not to my recollection.
Probably should have been.
Was there a Henway in it?
Jackson. It was important enough for that detective to bring it up.
Which one was Matt? That wasn't Benicio del Toro, though.
Yes, that's Richard Matt. Benicio del Toro.
I could see Benicio del Toro, being gifted.
Having a hog.
Yeah. You know, he was the one that came undone when they got outside of the prison gates. You know, he just couldn't stop drinking. He just... He was a problem. He was acting erratically.
Sure was.
Oh, it's true.
David Sweat, on the other hand, he was trying to keep it together, trying to stay focused.
Well, so that'd be a good one for people to go back and watch now. If you're still trying to kill time.
Yes, that's a good binge watch if you need a show.
If you can still find that one, I don't want to give it away, but one of them doesn't make it. Right, Beetle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil that, but, right, you know.
All right. Okay. All right, good.
You know, I don't want to ruin it. I mean, you probably – here's the thing, though, Hardy. 5 years have passed, so you may not remember what the story was.
Right.
That's why I wouldn't recommend spoiling it. Yeah. Just let people watch it.
All right,
let them watch it. It's good. It's a good show. Good acting in it.
Yep.
I think you'll enjoy it. And what's the other one? Trailer Park Boys?
Trailer Park Boys. I would highly recommend that. Yeah, you just watch one episode, you'll laugh.
Okay.
You'll start watching more. It's funny.
I'll give it a look.
All right.
Felger Maz are next. Maz is going to address his useless hole-in-one at some point.
Birdie. Birdie's the word.
Eagle.
Not hole-one. Oh, eagle. That's eagle. Right. We don't want to.
Eagle.
That's right. We're going to be fair. It's an eagle.
I don't want to take a stroke from him. We're back tomorrow at 10.
All right, see ya.
I can't tell you what we're going to do tomorrow at 10, but we're going to do something.
Who knows? I'm going to the pool. I'll see ya.
All right, so see ya. Bye, Hardy. Yeah, bye.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Shane from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. Our bottle-free water purification service gives you and your employees refreshing, purified, unlimited water on demand. Even better, we pair that with our performance guarantee and inclusive service and maintenance plan, making managing your own hydration service a thing of the past.
What are you waiting for? Visit bottlefreeboston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's bottlefreeboston.com, and make sure you tell Shane and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.